This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Health News Digest on the Bigger Picture. BFM 89.9.
Hello, welcome to Health News Digest. I'm Tina Camellia.
I'm Ti Xiaoyi.
On the show today, human behavior.
So we will be talking about crowdfunding and why people donate.
And we'll look at psychologists' replication crisis.
And finally, we'll be looking at how healthcare professionals and doctors can also have bias towards patients in a story where a woman's lung cancer was missed for years because doctors just kept telling her to lose weight.
As we are talking about the state of the mind, leading us into our first story is Dolly Parton with On My Mind Again, BFM 89.9.
Try hard to forget you and the love I once shared with you, but my mind won't let forgetfulness come in. There's no use in pretending, the hurt is just beginning. Just when I think it's ending, you're on my mind again. On my mind again, just like you've always been. On my mind with memories I'm remembering. On my mind again, just like you've always. Where certain things erases all traces of your memory now and then. Oh, then something will remind me of the love I left behind me. Then again, your memory finds me and you're on my mind again. On my mind again, just like you've always been. On my mind with memories I'm remembering. On my mind again, just like you've always been. Yes, I find I've got you all.
Welcome back to Health News Digest. I'm Tina Camellia alongside Ti Xiaoyi, and we are exploring human behavior, starting with how crowdfunding works.
So there's news over the weekend that Tabung Harapan has collected more than 50 million ringgit, and it was just launched about 10 days ago. And I think that's really remarkable. Many charitable causes can't even reach those sorts of numbers, you know, after months of fundraising. So I thought it'd be interesting to look at what has been prompting Malaysians to donate so freely. Mm-hmm. Just a bit of background on the fund. The government set it up on 30th of May for Malaysians to contribute towards reducing national debt, which apparently comes up to about 1 trillion ringgit. And the crowdfunding idea actually started with a citizens' initiative. It was a 27-year-old woman named Nik Shazarina Bhakti. She's a legal officer at Sisters in Islam, and she took it upon herself to launch a private crowdfunding initiative back in 26th May. And she was actually targeting to raise $100,000 US dollars. And in a very short time, she managed to raise about $3,500. That's about 14,000 ringgit before the government stepped in and sort of, took over the fund so that there would be one legitimate fund that all citizens could contribute to. And so all the contributions to the Tabung now are tax deductible. You have individuals and companies, putting funds in as well. And, you know, for those who are worried about the legitimacy of it, the Finance Ministry has pledged that they will appoint an external auditor to audit the fund and that it will solely be used to pay off the national debt and for no other reasons.
Yeah, I think it's good for the government to step in to set up an official channel to donate because I think a lot of the issues for people who were a bit reluctant to put in money was because you question the legitimacy of these funds. There's a lot of opportunities for fraud.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And even after the government, you know, made it official, this is Tabung Harapan, there was a fake Tabung Harapan account that was set up with exactly the same poster. It's just the account number and the name was slightly different. So you can see, you know, there are fraudsters out there waiting to, yeah.
Big opportunity of people's generosity.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So you were mentioning a little bit about charity earlier. You were making that comparison between this crowdfunding effort and charity. Is there a specific difference between crowdfunding and the traditional donation?
Yeah, so the differences seem to lie in the mechanisms of it. So crowdfunding is a method of soliciting small amounts of funds from individuals, and it always takes place online. To go towards a specific project or a business venture. So you see a lot of crowdfunding being done by startups which are looking to launch, let's say, a new product, you know, and they don't have the funds and they can't get capital funds to go full out yet. So they do crowdfunding and they get people who might be interested in buying this product later on to tong towards it. Whereas the traditional donations are done through fundraising is where, and that's what we're familiar with. You know, organizations get individuals, organizations, or businesses to put in money towards a charitable cause. And this could be if you imagine UNICEF, let's say, getting donations to help children all over the world. So it may not be a very specific project. It may or may not be, but it is an ongoing long-term fundraising initiative.
The thing about donation or even crowdfunding, it's voluntary-based.
Yes.
Why would you want to give your money away? For nothing in return. You don't expect anything.
There are different groups of people who donate or give towards crowdfunding. And the ones who are true altruists, I suppose, are the ones who give without expecting anything in return, whether it's some sort of physical reward or even, sort of feeling good about yourself. To be honest, I think there are people who donate because it makes them feel good about themselves, or they can say that they have donated towards this cause. And there are studies that have found that there are sort of five key motivations for charitable giving. Altruism, as I've mentioned. I think those people are few and far between, to be honest. Yeah. There's the trust, social, egoism, and taxes. Egoism, I think, is the one that links to what I was talking about, where you just feel good because you've done something that you feel is noble.
Or you know someone else who donated and you don't want to lose out.
Yes, absolutely.
So
yes.
You have to match or one-up them.
That's right, yeah. And the other thing, taxes, right? Because you know you can get tax rebates for your donation. So that's really not an altruistic, motivation.
But it's funny because the reason people want to reduce their taxes is because they don't want their money to go to the government. But this is, you are donating to the government to help the government reduce the national debt.
I know. And, you know, people complaining so much about paying GST, you know, when it was first implemented. And Texas are supposed to achieve the same thing that this Tabung Harapan will eventually do. It goes towards government coffers, right?
Yeah. Well, I think maybe it's the framing, the words that you use to describe certain things. It might change people's behavior. And then, you know, when you say it's taxed, you're being taxed by the government, you feel like you're being forced to.
Yes.
Whereas if you willingly donate because you want to, because you have the free will to however much you want, then you kind of feel a little bit better with parting with that money, even if it comes down to about the same amount.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So I think that's those two things, messaging as well as tapping into people's motivations. And there's a lot of psychological studies. One leading professor of bioethics, Peter Singer from Princeton University, he talks a lot about, you know, the motivations behind donating or giving your money towards a cause. And he has something interesting to say here.
There's lots of good research linking happiness and donating to charity at all sorts of different levels. For example, in one experiment, people were asked to come in and they were given a modest amount of money, and they were told at randomly selected, some of them were told, go and spend this on yourself, buy something nice for yourself. And others were told, go and spend this on someone else, do something that's good for someone else. And then at the end of the day, they were asked to come back and they were asked to rate how well their day had gone. And there was a significant difference. And the people who were asked to spend the money on others and who did that reported much more positively about their day than the others did.
So in short, donating money can make you happier.
So if you don't have that much money to begin with, mm-hmm. would it make a difference? Would I be less happy because I give 1 ringgit because that's all I could afford versus, let's say, you if you have a lot more savings and you can give 10 ringgit, are you going to be 10 times happier than me?
That's a good question. And there's the assumption that, in fact, rich people should be willing to donate and to give more because they have more to begin with. Mm-hmm. So they won't miss a few thousand, you know, let's say. And that poor people should, according to this assumption anyway, should be less willing to donate because they can't afford to give away their very meager, you know, assets. But there's actually studies that sort of, you know, dispel these assumptions. And one of them that I read shows that people of lower socioeconomic status were more willing to donate a higher portion of their salary for charity. And I would think the motivation there is because they know what it's like to live with less. And there's a sense of community, of wanting to help each other. And this is me being the armchair psychologist here. I think with the wealthy, for some of them, the reason they got wealthy in the first place was because they behaved in a more, they embodied this more individualistic characteristics, you know, looking out for themselves. I don't know. Not a psychologist at all.
Yeah. And I think also part of the reason why Tabung Harapan has been quite successful is because the original idea wasn't the government's idea. It came from the people. The people were already willing to do it. So I think it might not have been so widely accepted if the original idea came from the government themselves, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's psychological framing.
That's right.
And how you think about it, and right?
I think of Tabung Harapan as crowdfunding because it's the people coming together, and it really is in line with the whole everything leading up to elections where, you know, it was really the people making a difference, and so they continue to do so now as well.
I think it adds up even if I give 1 ringgit, I guess.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times that would be the question for some of us who are a little bit more poor, I guess, for lack of a better word. We're poorer, we don't have that much funds
to give.
The question we would usually hear is that, well, what difference does it make?
Yes, yeah. If 30 million people, just 1 ringgit, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've already seen with more than 50 million in the Tabung, clearly, you know, some people are going all out.
So between you and I, Shaik, let's say I am that 1 ringgit person and you can afford the 10 ringgit donation. Who do you think between us would be more willing to part with the respective amount of money?
I don't know. Maybe I would, you know, I'm being cynical here. I might say that I would be less willing to part with my 10 ringgit, even though I have more, because I just feel like I want to hold on to it. I don't know.
That's how you managed to get to 10 ringgit,
to 10 ringgit,
right?
In the first place, yes. This is hypothetical, by the way.
But there is a YouTube social experiment asking a similar question, right, about who is more willing to donate towards, in this case, a homeless shelter,
yeah,
the middle class and above, or the homeless themselves.
Yeah, let's have a listen.
I'm in the richest part of San Francisco, California. I'm going to be going up to rich people and asking them for donations for a local homeless shelter. Let's see how many people are willing to help out. Hey, sir. I'm doing a donation for the homeless shelter. Would you mind helping me out? All right, thank you. Hey, sir. Hey, I'm doing a little fundraiser for a local homeless shelter. Would you mind helping me out?
Oh, how you doing?
Okay. Hi, I'm doing a donation. Oh, okay. Thank you. People over here aren't really donating. Let's go hit the homeless area and let's see if they donate. Hi, I have a fundraiser for the homeless shelters. Would you like to help me out? Thank you so much. That means the world to me, dude. You know what, man? You're such a kind-hearted person. I don't need the money, but you know what? I'll help you go by the night tonight. There you go, man.
Yeah.
Have a good day, okay? What made you want to help me out?
I wish the people would help me, so I'd help someone out.
That's awesome, man. Have a great night, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Huh. There you go.
I think what really struck me about that, I mean, I know it's by no means a scientific, you know, a rigorous experiment, but just seeing that the homeless guy just putting whatever coins he had from his cup into, you know, into the guy's hand, that really does show that even those who have little are willing to help others in need as well.
Well, speaking of rigorous experiments, that's our second story.
Yes, it
after
is.
After this, PFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.